Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm back with another podcast episode. Sorry, it's been a little bit of a delay, but my mind's not been in the right headspace to focus on doing any episodes recently. And hopefully you see a slimmer me in the next few weeks and from now onward, because I've started Slimming World. I lost 6.5 pounds in my first week, and I lost 3 pounds a day when I went in and checked on the scales. I've got my half stone award, so I'm looking forward to cracking on and losing some more weight. Today, I've got a man I met back in January at an event at Norwich City Football Club. We didn't talk at the night, but when he spoke about what he does with the men cave and everything else and his struggles, I knew I had to get him on a podcast because this bloke knows what he's talking about. So I'm going to pass you over to Stu, and Stu's going to give you an introduction, and then we'll get cracking, people. Over to you, Stu.
Afternoon, everyone. How's everyone doing? My name's Stu Berman. A year ago, I set up a online mental health men's support group on Facebook called The Man Cave. It's been going since it's about 14, 15 months now. Basically, I went through my own struggles for the last 8 or 9 years, really. I've been down the suicide route a couple of times. Thank God it never worked. And, just built up a pretty strong survival guide to try and turn things around for myself, and thought it was time that I try and help fix this broken system that this country is suffering at the moment, and try and pass this survival guide on to other men, which seems to be doing quite well at the moment. So, yeah, that's where I'm at the moment. So, all good.
Nice one. And I like how you put that quite politely, the broken system. I sit in meetings with commissioners and high-up staff in the mental health trust, and sometimes I wonder how they got their job.
It's unbelievable, mate. You know, I could be very, very undiplomatic, shall we say, but this is probably a family kind of podcast, so I'm not gonna say too much more.
I don't blame you, because I could get myself into trouble as well.
Definitely.
So, well, my first question is to you: what does mental health or what does mental ill health mean to you? And there is no right or wrong answer in this. It's just a simple question. And so far, when I've asked people that have come on and had a talk with me through the podcast, there's been a different answer each time. So I'm looking forward to hearing another new answer.
For me, it was the darkest, bleakest, most isolating time of my life. People don't, unless you've been through it, you will never understand. You will never, ever, ever get it. How can you possibly explain something if you don't even understand yourself? You know, one day you're okay, and then it's the same. It's, you know, I've said it to people before, you know, it's the most important organ in your body that gets sick. It's like getting a tumor in your lung or something like this. You can't see it, but if someone says, "Oh, I've got cancer," they understand because they know about cancer.
Yeah.
You know, they've got family members who have probably been through cancer or something like this. But a mental illness, you know, it just completely destroys your world. Every single thing that you thought was good, that you thought, I mean, when I went through my worst period, I was married. I just had a baby. You know, I've got two children from a previous relationship. I didn't even want to be around those people. I had everything, a great job, but it was almost like my brain was telling me it wasn't enough. These demons that were living in my head were literally taking everything from me. And the scary thing about it was, being in that darkness, it felt safe. It felt like nothing could come and get me, because I was just under this black blanket that I didn't have to be in the real world. It was almost like nothing else could come and get me, because I was protected by this darkness. If I stayed in this little isolated bubble, you know, with these demons telling me what I thought at the time was the truth, I obviously know now everything that I was telling myself was complete crap. You know, it's just an unbelievably dark time. I don't really. I'll tell you, if it's okay, I'll tell you a quick analogy I came up with. Someone said to me once, right, okay, describe PTSD to me, which is I suffer with PTSD and anxiety. So someone said, try and describe PTSD to me. So it took me 6 years to come up with this analogy. But imagine your brain is an octopus. And the octopus has obviously got eight arms, so that the center of your brain is the body of the octopus. And in there is one positive thought. And then all eight arms of the octopus reach out and they grab a negative, bring it in with the positive, and then squirt its ink. And you've then got to find that positive thought in all that. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. But the way I got through things, acceptance for me was key. Learn about what you're going through. Learn about what you're feeling. Write everything down. Even if you can't string a sentence together, just write words, you know, whatever word. I mean, I was putting things like suicide, negative, black, dark, you know, uncomfortable, irritable, just words. And then you work on those words to create sentences. And when you string these little positive motions together, it's like one of the arms comes off the octopus and you just keep going and going and going until you're left with just the body. I know it sounds so stupid to say, but
that sounds really good.
That is the most simple way I could possibly describe it.
Yeah, I've not got PTSD, but I've got EUPD, emotional unstable personality disorder, and you get it from trauma, and then now looking at links with PTSD. Now, if I had a therapist told me what you've just told me, that would sink in more.
Yeah. It's unbelievable, mate. You know, just lived experience of going through it. People, even to this day, that you haven't got PTSD. Why? Because I didn't serve in the army? People think it's just to do with army veterans.
I'm not laughing at that comment. It's just my partner's in the next room, and my partner would totally love you for saying that, because she's had this argument so many times.
The thing with mental health, it's so stereotyped. You know, PTSD, it's for soldiers. That's it. You know, there's so many things. It's just so stereotyped. This is why I'm so adamant about helping men with mental health, because, you know, you've got to be a man up, you know. Even when I was going through some really bad times in my life, people who I really, really trusted, people who I thought, you know, were going to be in my life forever, you know, turning around saying things like, don't you think you've had this long enough now? You can't just snap out of it. You know, you wouldn't say that to a cancer patient. Oh, don't you think you've had that tumor in your brain long enough now? It doesn't work like that.
Really strange. I had a relapse in my mental health in 2018. I had a psychotic breakdown. And I don't know if you were the same, but did you find out who your true friends were?
Oh, 100%. And honestly, I can count on half of one hand who was actually there for me.
Yes, so can I.
And the rest, they didn't even want to try and understand.
No.
You know, and that's why I will always say, you know, when you're recovering from mental health problems, you don't rely on anybody else. Because at the end of the day, if you strip your life away, you strip your partner, you strip children, parents, family members, friends, work colleagues, you stand in front of a mirror, who are you left with at the end of every day? Just you.
Yep.
You know, and that is the only person who can physically and mentally get you through anything in life. You know, nobody is coming to save you. Nobody is going to do it for you. There is no magic pill. You know, nobody can take that feeling or fear or, you know, emotion away from you. It's all got to be done by you. People can show you the tools, but when you've got these mental health problems, you've never had to use these tools before. So you've got to learn how to use them yourself, because nobody can do it for you. And you know,
this is where I think lived experience comes in from.
Oh, 100%.
If you don't have someone with lived experience explaining how they manage through their experience with their mental health and putting their tools into place, I didn't have a clue.
No. When and everybody's so different as well. Yeah. Everybody is so different. This is why I will say, you know, in my group, I'm not a counsellor. I'm just sharing my survival guide. It might not work for some people, but one bit of it might. Yeah. You know, one thing that I've gone through might help one other person. Well, I know it has, you know, but everybody is so different. There is no complete guide that I can write down in on paper that is going to make everybody better.
No.
It doesn't work that way. And the way social media and the world is at the moment as well, there's people on social media, they only post their happy times. They only post the smiles. They won't post, oh, I've just had a £5,000 tax bill come through the post. Don't know what I'm going to do. They only post when the kids have won something or, you know, or they're going out with their partner for the night. Me personally, if I'm having a bad day, I'll tell people because I heal out loud. That is one way I get through things. You know, the world for me, you've got to live in total reality. You can't live a fake life. It doesn't work. No. And when you suffer with mental health, you can't. One thing I found when I was going through my worst time is, like I said a little while ago, you live in that fake reality under that dark blanket because you don't want the real world. But if you actually embrace the real world and get out of your comfort zone and get out and live the real world, it's not actually a scary place.
No.
It's not actually a scary place to be.
No, and you know, there is people out there that are willing to help you along your journey.
Definitely. 100% there is.
You need to be ready and in a safe place for you to start that journey before making that journey, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. This is what I say about acceptance. But one quote I now live my life by every single day of the week is, if nothing changes, then nothing changes. If you don't make active changes in your life is going to stay the same. If you're in a routine that is a downward spiral every single day and you're just existing rather than living, then you need to change that routine. I say my son suffers with anxiety. He's 13 and... You know, his routine is get up, go on his Xbox, have his breakfast, get dressed, go to school, come home, Xbox, bed. That's his routine. It doesn't work for him, you know. So I'm now getting him out playing football with him. I'm now a football coach for him. He's spending some more time with me. You know, we're changing his routine up. And he's loads better, you know, loads better because he's actively making changes to his day.
Yeah.
And when I say about the demons as well, these demons, they feed on negativity. It's a living thing in your head. They feast on negativity. And if you can take that negativity away from them in regards of putting in one small positive every day, these demons quieten down. They hate it. They don't know what to do. And it's almost like they start to leave you alone. And they're not putting these intrusive thoughts in your head because your mindset has become bulletproof.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, just one small positive every day, even if that positive is getting out of bed and making your bed, you know, that's a positive. You've left your bedroom tidy that day.
Yeah.
You know, it might sound so small. One of my positives, I walk to work and back every day, no matter what the weather, I walk to work and back every day. And I walk past the bakery every day because I absolutely love the smell of bread and cakes, you know, fresh cooked cakes in 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, before they open, but that just sets something off in my brain. Oh, yeah, that's a lovely smell. That's, you know, that's getting me going, you know. But if you can just keep adding to that pile every day, every week, every month, every year, that pile eventually overflows of positivity. And these things in here, they're almost silent.
Definitely.
And don't get me wrong. You will still have bad days, but on the way, as you're going through the positives, you learn coping strategies. You build up new layers of strength, almost like an onion, you know, with its layers, you know, and you're putting this demons further and further down into the pit of your stomach, and you're building up layers. I mean, me personally, I embrace bad days now because it gives me a chance to practice the coping strategies. I like a bad day every now and then because it gives me a chance to keep those coping strategies fresh in my mind. You know,
And the most important thing I learned over the different courses I've done since having my relapse is not every coping technique or strategy or whatever you do might not work that day, but don't throw it away because it will work. That could work the next time.
100%. I mean, I had a day a couple of weeks ago. Sorry to interrupt. A couple of weeks ago, and absolutely nothing I'd picked up in the last 7 or 8 years worked for me. I had a stinker of a day, you know, and the best thing I could do that day, I actually went for like a 6 mile walk, and that just cleared my head. You know, I just put a podcast, I listened to an audio book and then a podcast, and I was back. But nothing, breathing techniques, journaling, nothing I would normally do worked for me. And, you know, I thought to myself, well, come on, I need to just change the scenery. Need to just change the environment, change the sight, change the smell, you know, and that actually worked, you know. So you learn something new there. If nothing else works, go and do something completely different.
Yeah, definitely. And that's when if I do talks and that, that's one of the, back to an earlier point, I always tell people everybody is unique and individual. We are not the same way.
No way.
Something that might learn, something someone might say might help you go further in your life because that reflects in something that you're struggling with. I've learned off loads of different people, different coping techniques and techniques I've been taught by the mental health teams and stuff. And I've probably had more beneficial help of the people I've listened to outside the trust.
Yep, same here.
And listening to different podcasts, I've probably had more help that way than what I had through the services and stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. The thing I found with the services when I had my therapy, that's all very generic. You know, you're getting questions asked off a sheet of paper that they ask everybody else. It doesn't make you feel particularly, you know, make you feel an individual. You're just a number in the system, which I get. You know, that's exactly, it's what you have to be in the NHS. Unless you pay £100 an hour to go private, you're not going to get that one-on-one. You know, you're just a generic number in the system, which is such a shame, because a big thing about mental health is you want someone to say, look, this is what you want to be able to do. And you want, it's almost like you want someone to just put an arm around you and just say, that's all going to be okay. But they can't do that. You know, they can't do that with you. They can't sit with you for long periods of time because you've only got half hour or an hour's appointment.
And that's not help when they sit there then going like that at the clock watch.
Exactly.
That makes you feel unwanted then.
Exactly. Yeah. You're just part of a massive, you know, you're a small cog in a massive engine. That's what you are when you're in the NHS system, if you can get in the NHS system. But it's hard, mate. It really is. I mean, I was in a situation where with the suicide stuff, I got seen quite quickly, if you like, and I had 6 months, I think it was, of weekly therapy sessions. And I was very, very lucky in regards of I got picked up by a therapist who I really, really got on with. And he helped me massively. I was on sertraline at the time. And turns out sertraline was actually making me worse for about 3 years. So I then got put onto vortioxetine, which worked amazingly well. I was sleeping for half an hour to an hour a night, and they put me on melatonin as well. And I was getting, I mean, I don't even now, I don't sleep for more than 4.5 hours a night. That is classed as a lay in for me, 4.5 hours. But melatonin, that got me up to the four and a half hour mark. I can survive on that quite comfortably. But thankfully now, after all I've been through, I don't take any medication at all anymore. Absolutely nothing. So that for me is huge.
That's a very good, and that I did a talk once and I said that my aim is to reduce my meds and then try and come off my meds.
Yeah.
And a woman who was in the sitting area listening to the talk told me, well, you can't come off your meds because you've got a serious mental health issue.
Yeah.
I can.
Yeah, you can.
And there might be a time where I'd have to go back on them if I come off them.
Yeah, but there's always the option to go back.
Yeah, there's not nothing saying by law that they have to be. I was talking to my doctor this week, not for mental health issues, but I just said to him, I said, I need to come see you soon to talk about my medication. He said, okay, just ring in, tell them what it is, and we'll have a chat. And he knows that's one of my goals, is to reduce my medication.
Yeah. Yeah, there is no shame in going back on medication if you need it at all. You know, it's a starting block again. It gives you, it's almost like it takes you back to that blank canvas.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can start your approach again. It doesn't matter how many times you stop and start, you know. Life and healing and growing, it's not linear. It's up, down, right. It's backwards and forwards. You know, there's no just cruising on a flat line. Life isn't like that. And this is what I say about living in the real world, you know. Once you can realize and accept and learn to live with that, you know, it's not about the hand that you're dealt. It's how you play that hand. And people who live with physical and mental conditions, you know, you can tailor them into your everyday. Once you learn how to live with it, what you're going through, you can live with these conditions. You can live with anything. You know, it's just whether you're mentally prepared to change things, to, you know, accept things as well. Everything is manageable. Everything is manageable. It really is.
I look at it and I've, look, going back to the event at Norwich, I was helped running a stall for something. I'm a volunteer for Lift Lad for Danny. And Sue couldn't make it, which isn't a problem. So I said, I'm going anyway. But the anxiety, I had the train ride from Lowestoft over to Norwich. Then I had to get to the club and find where I was actually going. But once I got in, and the welcome I got from everybody that were helping set up the stalls, and it was phenomenal. And my anxiety that was up here just went.
Yeah. And then, I mean, that was my first event that night. So I know how you feel anxiety-wise.
Yeah. And like, I then went to the bar to get a drink, and he said the price. Oh, yeah, I ain't got enough on my on my card. I wasn't expecting a pint of Coke to be so much. But he, I messaged my missus and my sister, just transfer me this over so I can pay for my drink. And he called me over because I didn't have much signal on my phone. And he called me over and said, yeah, I've sorted out. I've charged you for half instead. I can see you're worrying about it. And my anxiety went back down again.
That's really decent of him, yeah.
Properly set me out, and I was like, nice one.
Yeah, that's really decent.
Do you think more, all these football clubs, sporting clubs, all across the UK and all over the world, they should all be doing something like that, don't you think?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I mean, sport in general, whether it's F1, boxing, you know, all these events, these clubs, these teams, you know, squads, whatever you want to call them, they have, I would say a massive, massive percentage of sportsmen with this fame that they live in these days suffer with mental health issues. And I genuinely think the world would be a better place if more of these guys came out and spoke about it.
Yes.
Because I think things like the government would listen to people like this more.
Yeah.
Because it would create more of an uproar from the general public, if you like. Oh yeah,
yeah. So,
you know, not saying he has, but say someone like Jack Grealish, you know, Man yeah. City player, Erling Haaland came out and said, "Oh, I suffer with PTSD," for example. You think of the backlash the government would get, because they would probably turn around and say, "Oh yeah, Erling Haaland's doing really great things for mental health support." You think the backlash from the general public sound, well, there's 30 million people in this country, for example, suffering with mental health.
Yeah.
Why is Erling Haaland getting special treatment just because he's super famous?
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't for the general public in this country, the government wouldn't be where they are now.
No.
So, definitely, you know, it's these big clubs and things like this, they could help turn this situation around. I genuinely believe that.
Yeah, seeing firsthand the event we went to at Norwich, I had to ask you question, because that was just...
It was incredible. It was just...
Yeah.
You think Norwich aren't a particularly big team. They've got 27,000 seat stadium. You know, they're not a massive, massive club. You know, but the work they do for mental health... I mean, that video that went on online, you know, the two guys there in the stand, that got more hits than I think any other mental health video out there this year. It was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
And it's still popping up on certain avenues of the social media.
That gets posted in my group probably monthly, if I'm honest, by different
loads
guys.
In the group we're in. I've seen it loads.
Yeah. It's brilliant. I mean, I think I posted that the day it came out, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. I sat there and cried watching that.
Yeah,
because that just resonates so much. You know, when I was going through my worst stuff, I was still going to work every day. I was still being a dad. I was still being a husband, but I was physically dying inside. I'd gone. I never wanted to die, but I wanted my illnesses to go. I wanted my illnesses gone, because they were a burden on me, and I was then a burden on everybody else. But I was still trying to make sure everybody else had what they needed, you know, that they were all happy, that they were smiling. But I'd let it consume me. It had just taken me completely. I was a shadow of who I used to be.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I can really relate to that. I'm going to start bringing this to the end now, Stu.
Yeah, it's fine, bud. Yeah.
One of my questions that I always ask at the end is, what bit of advice would you give to someone that maybe wants to go into a male that would want to come into a group like yours? And all I can say is we're all friendly in the group and we all have a laugh. And what bit of advice would you give to someone that's struggling? We aren't medically trained. This is from lived experience only. I must stress that enough, but it is lived experience views only. It's not from a medical purpose.
Yeah, that's correct. Talking literally saved my life. Like I say, you can write things down. Just start with a word, but talk to anyone who'll listen. Get your thoughts, get your feelings out there. Learn about what you're going through as well. Learn about the symptoms. Learn about coping strategies and acceptance. You will not change anything until you've accepted what you're going through. See life for what it actually is rather than what you want it to be, because you have to get through the now to get to the tomorrow.
Yes.
You know, and that is huge. And I'll go back to the quote as well. If nothing changes, then nothing changes. You know, and if you're sitting here at the moment not knowing how to speak, trust me, I know how hard that is to not be able to get the words out, but there is a way. And you start small, baby steps. And that is as much as I can say. If you join the group, you will never be judged. You will never be left behind, and you will certainly never be alone. You know, and that is one of the worst things about mental health issues. That is the feeling of alone and not knowing where to turn. But I promise you, everyone watching this, there is someone out there who's willing to help.
I can't thank you enough for coming on. Them last words are absolutely bloody brilliant.
Cheers, bud. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely brilliant. I can relate to that. And I think my missus might watch this podcast because I think she's going to like your attitude towards stuff. I think she'll like it. It's a shorter episode this time. I've had some feedback and I'm just going to try it out to see how it goes. And if you want me to go back to the longer form, just drop a comment in the comment section below and we'll go from there. So it's a goodbye from me. I'm hoping to be back next week. I have got a guest lined up. It's just trying to pencil in and when we can do it. So I'll let Stuart say bye.
Thanks, everyone. Take care. See you soon.
And it's a goodbye for me, and I'll see you in the next one.